Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series entitled Growing Through the Bible. Please take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and today we're going to be continuing with this study entitled Inspiration, How We Got the Bible. Inspiration, How We Got the Bible. I'm so glad you're here today for this very, very important message on a very important topic, and that is inspiration, how we got the Bible. Well, today as we continue with this series, let's go to the introduction of our study guide. And there's a study guide of the message in your program. I'd like to ask you to pull that out right now and plan to use it today. And we have a theme verse we really want to nail down in this series. And that theme verse is 1 Peter 2, verse 2. And as we go through this study, what we want to learn is the fact that, listen, the normal Christian life is a life of ongoing growth. We need to understand that the normal Christian life, what God wants, what God expects of every single one of us, is to be growing. We're to be growing in the Word. We're to be growing through the Word. But you know, that doesn't happen automatically. You don't just grow spiritually automatically. You don't just grow spiritually because you want to grow. There has to be action. There has to be action that causes you to grow. And in this series, we're learning about the number one action. We're learning about the number one thing we have to do to grow spiritually, and that is we have to spend time in the Word of God every single day. We have to spend time, listen, every single day in the Word of God. Now, 1 Peter 2:2 puts it this way. It says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Now, this is our theme verse for this study, what we hope to become a greater and greater part of our lives. And it says this, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Let's say that together real loud, real clear. Here we go. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Let's do it again. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Now, you'll notice the word desire there. See the word desire? The Bible says we're to desire the Word of God. Now, that word means to long for, the Word of God. It implies the idea of strong emotion, strong passion for the Word of God. And to make that word come alive, it gives an illustration. And the illustration is this, as a newborn babe, And just like a baby, a newborn baby screams out and desires the milk of the mother, the Bible says we're to desire the milk of God's Word. We're to have a passion for the Word of God. We're to have a deep, deep passion for God's Word. We're to desire it. We're to long for it. And the Bible says this, when we do that, When we get in the Word, when we get in the Word that way, it says we grow thereby. We grow thereby. You see the connection there between spiritual growth and the Bible? You see that? The Bible says we grow according to how much we invest in God's Word. In other words, in many ways, we determine the speed of our spiritual development. Much of our spiritual development, most of our spiritual development is based on spending time in God's Word. And what we have to learn to do is to spend lots and lots of time in the Word of God. In fact, when we think about this, I mean, just think about your own life, okay, and where you're at with the Word of God. I would just ask you to think about this. Think about this. How much time did you spend in God's Word on your own since last Sunday? How much time? Think about Monday. Think about Tuesday. Think about Wednesday. Think about Thursday. Think about Friday. Think about Saturday. I mean, was the last meal you had in the Word of God was the last meal you enjoyed? Was it last Sunday? Boy, if that's true, you're not going to grow very fast. You're not going to grow very fast. See, if you're not growing, you're shrinking. And if you're shrinking, you're sinning. You're sinning. Remember this, a dusty Bible, okay, leads to a dirty life. A dusty Bible leads to a dirty life. A dusty Bible leads to a dirty life. Now, in this series, you will learn how to grow through, listen, to grow through the Bible, and here's the most important thing, and be a self-feeder. Be a self-feeder. Yes, I'm to feed you. 1 Peter chapter 5 talks about what a good pastor looks like. Okay, number one, they lead. It says they take the oversight. Okay, a good pastor is willing to lead the church, okay? Number two, they feed, okay? I have a responsibility to feed you the Word of God, to give you the Word of God. Number three, they protect. The Bible says a good pastor protects this flock, protects the church. And the Bible says if a pastor leads, feeds, and protects, there's a crown, a special crown that only pastors can receive. And let me tell you something, I'm going after that crown, okay? And please, y'all don't want to show up there and I don't get that crown, okay? So I got to lead you, okay? I got to step up and lead this church, okay? I got to answer to God for this church, and he's the chief shepherd, but you better believe I'm right under him, okay? Okay? He's the big boss. I'm the little big boss, okay? But I got to feed you. I got to give you the Word of God. I got to pour the Word of God into your life, and I got to protect you. I got to step up and say, hey, you know, we're not doing that around here. We're doing this or whatever, okay? That's my responsibility, okay? So yes, I've got to feed you. That's part of my job, okay? We feed you through small groups. We ask you to go to a small group, get involved in a small group, and we're going to feed you. But listen, that's not the number one way you're going to grow spiritually. That's part of it, but it's only a part of it. The number one way you're going to grow spiritually is you becoming a self-feeder. That means you, yourself, every single day, get into God's Word. In fact, you know what you're supposed to do after you hear me preach? You're supposed to go home and make sure I told you the truth, okay? Did you know that? You're not supposed to just listen to me and say, that's probably right, pastor said it. No. You have an obligation. You're supposed to go home and make sure I told you the truth, okay? That's what the Bereans did, and we need to be a Berean church and follow that. So we're trying to help you, not just on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, to be a self-feeder, okay? Because we want you to grow a lot, okay? We want you growing through the Bible. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Some of the most incredibly important words ever penned in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Today we're talking about inspiration. Today we're talking about how we got the Bible. How did we get the Bible, okay? If you're going to grow through the Word, you got to have a high regard for the Word of God. You have to have a high regard for the Bible. And that is to realize it is the very Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly furnished or equipped for every good work. Wow, the Bible. The Bible is given by inspiration of God. The Bible is given by inspiration of God. Now, inspiration means to be breathed out by God. The Bible has been breathed out by Almighty God. You say, well, how much of the Bible is breathed out by God? All of it, okay? All of it. All of the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, every single part of the Word of God, whether it speaks to science or history or archaeology or marriage or parenting or managing your money or you name any section of God's Word, every bit of it, every single bit of it is inspired by God. The genealogies are inspired by God. Every single bit of the Word of God has been breathed out by Almighty God. And the Bible says it's profitable. It's profitable. It's profitable for several things. Number one, for doctrine. Doctrine, the Bible tells us what is right. That's what doctrine is. And one of the aspects, you know, pretty much every series we do, or every sermon we do, kind of has a basic theme to it. This series would fit probably under doctrine as much as anything, okay? Okay, we call it bibliology, learning the theology concerning the Bible, okay? The Bible. It's given for doctrine. The Bible tells us what is right. Secondly, for reproof. What does that mean? The Bible tells us what's not right. We're going to learn later that the Bible is like a mirror. And when we get into God's Word and we see what is right, we see the doctrine of the Word of God, it shows us what's not right. And what does that do? It reproves us. It convicts us. It tells us, hey, we need to get right with God as we look into God's Word. But then God doesn't leave us without hope. He doesn't leave us without direction. He gives us correction. He doesn't just say, hey, this is not right. He tells you, listen, how to get right. How to get right. The Bible corrects us. The Bible tells us what we need to do to get right with God. What we need to do properly for God. And then I love this for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. I like that because it tells us, the Bible tells us how to stay right. It instructs us. It tells us, okay, this is how you're supposed to be a husband. This is how you're supposed to be a wife. Okay, this is how you be a parent. This is how you be a child. This is what marriage is. Okay, this is the definition of marriage. This is God's view of marriage. Okay, this is what the Bible says about money. This is what the Bible says about angels. This is what the Bible says about Jesus. This is what the Bible says about this. It gives us instruction in righteousness. It tells us what is right. And then listen, what's the outcome of that? That you may be, listen, perfect or complete. That you may be thoroughly furnished or equipped, listen, for every good work. What does the Bible do? It grows us up, right? There it is again. Growing through the Bible. Growing through the Bible. As you get into this breathed out book by Almighty God and you experience the profit of it in your life, what happens is the outcome is you mature. You grow up. And listen, you are then able to be mightily used of God and do great and mighty things for the Lord. So by definition, I want to give you a little working definition at the bottom of page one about inspiration. Inspiration means this, that all the words in the Bible are the very words of God, and as such are without error. Inspiration means that all the words in the Bible are the very words of God, and as such are without error. How did we get the Bible? It was inspired. It was inspired. We're going to talk about that today. Let's go to page two of our notes. And as we're going there, right now we want to have a special time today to introduce you to you another tool. And I want to ask Scott to come and join me. Let's welcome Scott Grassinger as he comes today. And if you were here last Sunday or last Saturday, last weekend or whatever, for Easter weekend, we told you that one of the big, big pluses of this series is that every Sunday we're going to introduce to you another tool. And in this series, we're going to share with you six different tools that you can use to study God's Word. And this may be one of the best things that you get out of this whole series, because we're hoping by the end of it, you lock into a tool or tools that you can use for growing through the Bible. Now, last week, we introduced you the Growth Guide. Okay, here is the newest copy of the Growth Guide. Last week we put these in the program. We are not going to do that every week, okay? But here's how you can get it, okay? Number one, you can get it by going to a small group. And when you go to your small group, every leader will distribute one of these to you, okay? Number two, if you're not in a small group, and I can't think of any good reason why you're not, okay? Okay, I can't think of a good reason why you're not, okay? But on the table in the lobby, there is a copy of the growth guide. Number three, you can go to capitalbaptist.org and you can get the growth guide off of our website. Because this is homegrown. This is right here. You won't see this anywhere else. This is Capital Baptist Church. And here's the idea. It's all linked to my message and to the small group. And so what you do basically is you get this, you studied all week long. Like if you did the growth guide, you know we're talking about inspiration today. You've already read the passage I've read to you. You have already read some of the passages I'm going to talk about today. You got your mind geared up. You know what I'm getting ready to talk about, okay? You're with me, okay? You're not coming in cold. You're not coming in off the street not knowing anything. You got your mind engaged. You go to your small group, you're going to be engaged, okay? Because you're ready to talk about this. You've already answered these questions. You're ready to make some input, okay? So this is the new one right here, okay? This is the one for next week. Next week we're talking about perspiration, how to study the Bible. This will tell you exactly how Steve Reynolds studies the Bible, okay? Exactly the technique I use for studying the Bible, okay? It's right here, okay? It's right here, and I'm going to introduce it to you as well next Sunday. Today we're going to talk about YouVersion. YouVersion. Now this is a tremendous tool, and to tell you what an impact it's making, 78 million people, with an M, million people, have this tool downloaded on a device. They have it on their phone, they have it on an iPad or some other type of tablet or whatever. 78 million people, okay? A church introduced this in 2008, okay, a church, and within the first 3 days, 83,000 people downloaded it, okay? They knew they were onto something big, okay? And so today, we're going to introduce this tool. Now, one of the things we're trying to do, I'm hoping to do, is that when we talk about the tool, we're going to have a member of our church family talk about the tool, okay? And so Scott, a couple weeks ago, was just telling me how much he loves YouVersion, and he didn't have any idea what we were going to do here, okay? And I locked in on that, and I'm sure he regrets the day he told me that, okay? But I just thought it'd be more impactful if you heard it from you folks, okay, from our church family, okay? So Scott's going to tell us about YouVersion and how it impacts his life. Let's welcome Scott as he comes, okay? Okay, so number one, Scott, why did you start using YouVersion?
So several years ago, I started taking the Metro to work, and it was just kind of an unjoyful time because people are not joyful in the Metro, if you've ever taken it. And so I decided I'm going to find a way to make this a joyful commute for me. And it started with Christian worship music, and then I thought, you know, I could be in the Word at this time also. So I downloaded several apps to my phone, including the YouVersion, and just found out that I like the YouVersion the most. And even though I don't take the Metro anymore, I still use the YouVersion on a regular basis as my regular Bible.
Okay. So what do you like about it?
I like that it's, one, it's free. It's totally free.
Let's give it up for free.
And can't beat that. And that it's linked across, you know, as long as you're logged into your account, it links across all your devices and your computer. So everything you do on one device transfers to the other. So I'm going to show you. This is the icon. Basically, this is Pastor Steve's laptop that he lent me, and I appreciate that. There's the icon. So basically, it's a basic Bible, right? I mean, you can highlight things. You can select your book very easily. You can select your chapter very easily and your translation. Now, there's lots of translations in different languages. The sound icon here, oops, I didn't mean to do that. But the sound icon there is means that it can read to you. The green icon means that you can actually download it to your SD card, and if you don't have an internet connection, you can still listen to it or read it. And now you can listen to it also, and this is kind of cool. So this is Max McLean. He's a Christian actor, and he reads most of these scriptures.
Give it up for Max.
So let's see if you can hear it.
2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Kind of cool, isn't it? So that's our theme scripture for this series. So some other features, you can, of course, subscribe to plans. There's lots of plans. I think it was
300-plus plans, okay? So you got chronological. You can read through the Bible all kinds of different ways. One of my favorite sections is a topical section. And like, let's say you're struggling in your marriage. They've got daily readings to improve your marriage. Let's say you're struggling with anger. Is daily readings to help you with anger? I mean, not everything, I'm sure, but almost everything is there. If you've got an issue you're trying to work on, they give you a reading plan you can follow daily to grow in that area. All right, so how do you find a good reading plan? We already talked about that. What do you need to be careful about when using this device, tool?
Okay, so the Life Church that sponsors this application, I think they've done a great job. However, sometimes I've subscribed to, they have a marketing campaign that calls the Bible is an app. Well, the Bible is not an app. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
It's not an app. Now, the app just makes it accessible.
PK up here, preacher's kid up here preaching to us. That's good. Let's give it up for the preacher's kid. Amen. All right.
So it is accessible. It's very accessible. It's accessible as more than ever. And the problem is accessibility should not mean convenience. Sometimes it does for me. And so I've got to be very careful that I don't, just because it's accessible, I have to set an intentional time with the Lord to spend time in the Word and not just work on, let His, the time be what's convenient for me.
Yeah, amen. Okay, so how can we get started on this?
I apologize today. We were going to open up the CBC wireless so that you could subscribe to that. We had some issues. Oh, well, we could try it. It didn't work for me earlier. You're certainly welcome to give that a shot, but I was not able to connect. But anyway, if you are able to connect or you have internet connection, you can go to either your iTunes store or your Google Play Store and search for YouVersion. It'll be probably the first one that pops up. It looks just like that Holy Bible. Oh, well, everybody got that? This one. Download that, create an account, and just enjoy.
All right, very good. Let's give it up for Scott. Thank you, Scott. Amen. Okay, so thank God for technology and that being available to us. So there is another tool, and we're going to give you four more over the next four Sundays. But today, let's get back and let's talk about how we got the Bible. And the answer to that is inspiration. But let's unpack that on page two and talk about inspiration. First thing we need to realize is the reality of inspiration. The reality of inspiration. Now, this is important because so many people say, well, the Bible, it was written by people. And so it really wasn't written by God. So how do we bring together the God and the people part of inspiration? Well, many verses answer that question for us in the Word of God. But one of the clearest is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, where the Bible says, knowing this first. Now, please notice that statement, knowing this first. This has got to be a priority. Because if you get messed up on this right here, it's going to mess up everything else, okay? You understand? If you do not realize that this is the very Word of God, given by God, it's going to create a domino effect in every other area of your life. You got to get this down first. This is a priority in your life. And here it is, that no prophecy of scriptures is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man. So we have to understand that the Word of God, yes, God used writers to write God's Word, but He was the one and only divine author. And the Bible wasn't given to us by private interpretation, meaning it wasn't what these people wanted to give us or write to us. It wasn't given by the will of man. And there's so many illustrations of that. In fact, the whole Bible, in a sense, is an illustration. But let me just illustrate it with one point. You ever thought about Isaiah 7:14? Isaiah 7:14? Here's what Isaiah 7:14 says. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and a child will be born, and you'll call that child what? Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Now, this statement was made about 700, 750 years before Jesus ever came to this earth. Seven centuries before Jesus came to this earth, Isaiah was given guidance by the Holy Spirit to write down that a virgin will conceive. Now, listen, I do not claim to be the greatest biology student in the room here, okay? Let me make that very, very clear, okay? But I will tell you, usually the word virgin and conceive don't go in the same sentence, okay? I did figure that out, okay? So here's Isaiah, and God tells him, Isaiah, write down, a virgin shall conceive and have a child. Now, I'm sure at that point in time, I don't have any Bible to back it up. Maybe I'm wrong, okay? But I got a feeling that Isaiah did a double take about that time and said, one more time, Lord, one more time, a virgin shall conceive and have a child. And it even predicted the name of that child would be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. See, this wasn't given, listen, by any private interpretation. This was totally contrary to human thinking, wasn't it? Okay? It wasn't given by the will of man. It wasn't given by the will of man, but rather holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, the word move means carried along. They were carried along by God's Spirit. It was God's Spirit to move them, to tell them what needed to be written in the Word of Almighty God. And that's why the Bible says over and over again, I think it's like over 3,000 times, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, because the reality of inspiration is, it's thus saith the Lord. That's the reality of inspiration today. Now, what are some reasons for inspiration? We could do a whole message on just this one thing. Years ago, I did a whole series on, I forget how many it was, I think I had 8 different things. We did a whole message on science, whole message on archaeology, whole message on prophecy. I mean, there's so much that could be said about this. Today, I just want to whet your appetite a little bit, okay? And just tell you, 1 Peter 3:15 tells us that we need to always be ready to give a defense. So we need to know, you know, when I polled you guys, I mean, the overwhelming majority of our church believed the Bible's the Word of God, okay? A few were honest enough to say they didn't believe that, or some would say they weren't sure, and I appreciated that very, very much, okay? And hopefully today I can help you. If you don't believe the Bible's the Word of God, hopefully I can help you. But I guarantee you, of the overwhelming majority in our church that said they believe the Bible's the Word of God, I question how many could defend that and tell us why they believe. Let me just give you a few things to consider to help you. Number one, the fact that the Bible, listen, it's supernatural unity. It's supernatural unity. This is one of the strongest arguments to the fact that there was one divine author, and that's God Almighty. The fact that the Bible is a supernatural book and it's totally unified. The Bible's a unified book when it comes to general thoughts and specific details. Now, if the Bible had been written by one person at one time, we could understand how this could happen. But there were, listen, many diversities in its formation. Let me just give you 6 of them. Okay, 6 things for you to consider. Number one, it was written by, listen, 40 different writers. 40 different writers. Psalm 68:11 says, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. Psalm 68, verse 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who proclaimed it. 40 different people, okay? The second diversity here is that many of them, okay, they were from many walks of life. Many different walks of life. I mean, their backgrounds were different. Okay, you know, listen to this. Egyptian prince, soldier, priest, king, queen, housewife, rich farmer, poor farmer, scribe, prophet, prime minister, cupbearer, tax collector, evangelist, physician, fisherman, tent maker, the list goes on and on, okay? I mean, God used all kinds of people to give us the word of God. That would, of course, influence their thinking, wouldn't it? It was given over about a 1600-year period, 15 to 1600-year period. Think about that, okay? These people, most of them never even knew each other, okay? They never even came in contact with each other because they didn't even live at the same time. Wow, think about that. And then three different languages, mainly Hebrew and Greek, but some Aramaic as well, okay? Three different languages, think about that. And then listen, they were on three different continents as well. And then lastly, many different styles. I mean, the Bible contains different styles of writing. You got history, you got prophecy, you got biography, you got autobiography, you got poetry, you got law, you got letters, you got symbolism, okay? You got proverbs, all these different styles of writing. And listen, there's total unity in the Word of God. Total 100% unity. Well, somebody says to you, well, there are contradictions in the Bible, okay? Okay, I've had people say that to me, and here's what I say to them. Show me one. I personally have never had anybody that could come up with one, okay? Are there supposed contradictions that people might raise? Yes, there are, okay? Okay? But there's an answer to every single one of them, okay? And if you ever get put in that position, you just come see me or one of the pastors or somebody knows the Bible. Or how about you knowing the Bible, okay? How about you being a self-feeder and figuring it out for yourself? But be sure there's no contradiction in the Word of God. Not one contradiction, okay? There's total, absolute unity in the Word of God. Number two, it's supernatural indestructibility. I mean, the Bible, I'm telling you, it's been banned, it's been burned. I mean, people have proclaimed the end of the Bible, but guess what's going to be the bestseller this year? The Bible, okay? The Bible, because the word of the Lord endures forever, okay? See, books don't last. I happen to be the author of two books myself, okay? Bod for God and Get Off the Couch, okay? They'll probably last a long time, don't you think? Anyway, but one day, no, they're not, okay? One day they're going to say, we don't want to publish this any longer, okay? We're not going to publish it any longer, okay? That's all part of a contract, right in the book. They tell you, one of these days we're going to tell you you're done, okay? I mean, it's right there in the contract, okay? Because books don't last forever. But let me tell you a book that lasts forever. It's the Bible, okay? It's totally indestructible, okay? This word will last forever, okay? This word will last forever. One of my favorite illustrations, I got one illustration for each of these, is Voltaire. This is one of the best ones there is. Here's old Big Mouth Voltaire. And he's saying, in another century, there will not be a Bible on the earth. Another century, there won't be a Bible on the earth. Well, Voltaire, guess what? You're gone, but the Bible is here. The century's gone. The Bible continues to be printed and circulated throughout the world. After Voltaire died, his old printing press and the very house where he lived was purchased by the Geneva Bible Society, where they printed Bibles. Last week I misspoke and said American Bible Society. That was wrong, okay? Geneva Bible Society. Isn't that awesome? Man, he's dead. He's dead. And they buy his house. They use his printing press. And they print the Word of God. Hallelujah, okay? You cannot destroy the book. You cannot destroy the Bible. It is absolutely indestructible, okay? Because it's the Word of God. Okay, it's the Word of God. How about its supernatural science? The Bible isn't primarily a science book, but anything scientific in the Bible is absolutely correct. And anybody that says, you know, the science says this, the Bible says this, listen, just got to give it time for science to catch up with the Bible, okay? Just got to give it time for science to catch up with the Bible, okay? Just understand that if there's any contradiction, okay, the Bible is the one that's correct because it was written by the very creator, okay? It was written by the very creator of this universe and of this world. And then it's supernatural prophecy. See, the Bible contains, listen, about 25% of the verses in the Bible are prophetic. They speak to the future. Now, some of those prophecies have now been fulfilled. Some of them are being fulfilled. and some of them will one day be fulfilled. But what you got to understand about the Bible is this. Deuteronomy 18, let's read verse 21 says, "If you shall say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?" So they said, okay, when it comes to prophets, how are we going to know if somebody's a true prophet? How are we really going to know they're from God? And God gives the test. God gives the litmus test. And the litmus test is 100% accuracy. Okay, these people that say they're prophets and they're, you know, they're right whatever amount of time. Okay, if they're not right 100% of the time, they're false prophets. You understand that? They're false prophets. A prophet from God is 100% accurate. Okay? 100% accurate. And so for God to put himself out on a limb and have 25% of the Bible being prophetic, that's quite incredible, isn't it? That's quite unbelievable. And there's so many prophecies we could look at, but I mean, just think about the messianic prophecies. Just think about all the different prophecies in the Word of God. I mentioned Isaiah 7:14, he'd be born of a virgin, fulfilled in Luke 1:7. Micah 5:2 said he'd be born in Bethlehem, fulfilled in Luke 2:4. Genesis 49:10 says he'd be born of the tribe of Judah, fulfilled in Matthew 3:3. Psalm 78:2 says that he would speak in parables, fulfilled in Matthew 13:34. Zechariah 9:9 said he would ride on the colt of a donkey. Listen, Matthew 21, that happened. In Isaiah 61, it says he would heal the brokenhearted. In Luke 4:18, that happened. In Isaiah 53:3, he was rejected by his own. In John 1:11, that happened. In Isaiah 53:7, it says he would stand silent before his accusers. In Mark 15:5, that happened. In Psalm 22:18, it said that they would cast lots for his clothes. John 19:23, that happened. In Psalm 22, listen, hundreds of years before crucifixion, listen, crucifixion wasn't even in the world at this time, okay? It wasn't even a technique being used at that time. In Psalm 22, it was said that he would be crucified, okay? He'd be crucified. That was fulfilled. Psalm 22:1 says that he would say, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was fulfilled in Matthew 27:46. Zechariah 11:2 said he'd be sold by his enemies for 30 pieces of silver. That was fulfilled in Matthew 26:15. In Isaiah 53:9, it said he would be buried with the rich. Matthew 27, that happened. Wow. Wow. Incredible. And listen, Peter Stoner, a famous scientist in his book Science Speaks, talks about the probability of all that happening. Every single one of those happening. And he gave an illustration for us simple people that don't know what a two quintillion is. Okay? I don't know much about two quintillion. I don't know much about one quintillion. Okay? What does that look like? Here's a great illustration. This probability would be like filling the state of Texas, okay, 35 feet deep in silver dollars, putting an X on one of them, giving a blind man one pick. He'd have one chance in two quintillion in picking the one with the X on it. That's just the prophecies of Jesus. That doesn't include like Tyre, the city of Tyre. It was predicted that the city of Tyre would be, and you go there today, I've been there. It says it's going to be flat like a rock, and the fishermen will dry their nets there. When that prophecy was given, Tyre was one of the most powerful cities in the world at that time. They had unbelievable walls for protection. They had one of the strongest navies in the world. And Ezekiel prophesied this city, be like coming to Washington, D.C. in our time and saying it's going to be flat like a rock and fishermen are going to dry their nets right here, okay? Literally, that's what it'd be like. Ezekiel made that prophecy. Guess what happened? You go there today, it's flat like a rock, okay? Nebuchadnezzar said Nebuchadnezzar would come in and destroy it, okay? And they seized the city for 13 years, cut them off from getting anything there. And they overtook the city. They destroyed it. They moved. The Bible predicted this. They would move the remains, and they went out into the water, and they built another place out there, okay? But where Tyre sits today, it's flat like a rock. And you can go there today, and the fishermen dry their nets there. Praise God. See, listen, you can look at the newspaper. You can pick up the Washington Post. Let's see. And you might know what happened yesterday. I don't know about that, okay? You can turn on the TV and listen. You can find out what's happening today. But you can pick up your Bible, and you're going to know what's happening tomorrow, okay? It's right here in the Word of God, okay? It's right here in the Bible. Wow. The prophecy in the Bible. And then think about the fact of what God has said to us in the response to inspiration. The response. How should we respond to this being the Word of God? Well, 1 Thessalonians 2:13 tells us, and I'm telling you folks, I get to pastor a church that listen, comes up to this standard right here, okay? It says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive, listen, underline it, the Word of God. When you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Folks, you're like that. This, when we have guest speakers, I've seen this happen a few dozen times. And after church is over, we get in the car or whatever, and we're heading somewhere else, and almost every time, here's what they say. Wow. You got a lot of different types of people in your church. Because pretty much these people every day have been talking to Lily White. Okay, that's all they know anything about. The most segregated hour in America is Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. They're not used to a heaven-type church. Okay, and they're blown away by it. How all this diversity can worship God together. The second thing they say is, boy, your people love God's word. You can just sense it. That there's a love for the word of God. Okay, every time. Every time. What do we need to do? We need to accept the word. I love it. It says we need to welcome it. Woohoo! Welcome the word. Amen. Welcome the word of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's accept the word. And then let's activate the word. It says we got to believe it. And when you believe it, it effectively works in you. Okay. When you really believe it's the word of God, it's going to effectively work in you. So let's get this thing activated in our lives, okay? Let's get it effectively working in us. How did we get the Bible? We got it through inspiration. Through inspiration. So are you growing through the Bible? Your words, listen, Jeremiah said, were found and I ate them. Okay, again, as we close today, I want to ask you, okay, just for you and God to know, how much time did you spend in the Bible since last Sunday? How much time did you spend in the Bible as a self-feeder since last Sunday? Did you eat this book? I bet you had a lot of physical meals, didn't you? Okay? I bet you did. I bet more than likely every one of us ate every day physically last week. I bet you did. But Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, you don't live by bread alone, my friend. You live by the word of God. In fact, it says every word of God's word, okay? Folks, this is about self-feeding. This is, if you don't become a self-feeder, we failed. Do you understand? This series was a total collapse. It was a waste of my time, frankly, okay? Because this isn't about you coming to church. This isn't even about you getting in a small group. This is about you feeding yourself every day on this book, okay? Jeremiah found the word. He ate it. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for the truth of it. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, will you commit yourself to being a self-feeder? Will you commit yourself to get that growth guide or get on that YouVersion or whatever tool you like to use? It's fine. Whatever you want to pick, whatever. You say, what's the best one? The one you use. That's the best one. Whatever you'll use is the best one. So today, listen, take God's word into your life. Take God's word into your life today and let God's word sink deep in your heart today.